I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I trust on the way in you were given a programme of events for what the diocese are calling the Year of Prayer 2018. This is the first in a sermon series. I realise, you will have missed so much having great big long sermon series from the Year of the Bible. I thought perhaps just once a month during 2018 we'll have a sermon around the Lord's Prayer. I want to work my way through the Lord's Prayer line by line, and today is the introduction to that series. So the Lord's Prayer should be something which we explore and go deeper into through the coming year. There was a survey which was published this week conducted by Tearfund into prayer habits in the UK, and the headline of the survey was that 27% of Christians in this country say they never pray. So over 1,000 Christians were surveyed. Of the remaining 73% who say they do pray or they have prayed in the past, 10% say they hardly ever pray, and a further 13% pray only in times of crisis. And there's a spectrum, the frequency going up to 7% who say they pray several times each day. Now, I'm not sure how representative that is or isn't of us here at St. Mary's, but wherever we are on that spectrum, whatever our prayer life is like at the moment, I very much hope that 2018 will provide significant opportunities for us to ask, like the first disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. It's significant also that we are today in the middle of the week of prayer for Christian unity, when the first word in the version of the Lord's Prayer that we know in English is our Father. Back in the 4th century, John Chrysostom, possibly the greatest preacher among the early fathers of the church, said this in his sermon on the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, not my Father, which art in heaven, but our Father. And by this he at once takes away hatred and quells pride and casts out envy and brings in the mother of all good things, love itself, and exterminates the inequality of all things, and shows how far the equality reaches between the king and the poor man. For to all has he given one nobility, having vouchsafed to be called the father of all alike. It's wonderful stuff. Our Father means we look forward to welcoming Baptists even to St. Mary's this evening. We're going to be leading our worship. Our unity is with all who say our Father. And I ought to say, though, it's important for me to say something which is almost going to contradict that whilst I'm just exploring and introducing the Lord's Prayer this morning, something which will sound a bit odd, perhaps, that this is not, however, the Lord's Prayer is not a universal prayer for anybody and everybody. Rather, it is the prayer that Jesus gave to his own disciples. In the same way as other rabbis taught a special prayer to their followers, this may be the one prayer that people possibly can remember from being taught at school, many in our nation, whether they're people of faith or of no faith. But for the first 500 years at least of Christianity, no one would have heard the Lord's Prayer until they were baptized. The Lord's Prayer is given as part of Christian discipleship. In Matthew's Gospel, it's given by Jesus to his disciples as part of his Sermon on the Mount. And we need to realize that the Gospels themselves were written by believers and for believers. So when we read something like, who can be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect? How can you possibly do that if you haven't been baptized, if there's no Holy Spirit, if you're not in that new spiritual reality in Christ? That's the problem with people like Tolstoy, who said, I like the moral teaching of Jesus, but I'll leave out the miracles and the cross because I don't like those. or Thomas Jefferson in his old age, who took scissors to the New Testament and said, I like the Beatitudes, I like love your neighbour. There's certain wise teachings like that that I'll hold on to, but I'll lose the rest. You end up with bits of good advice, but it's not good news. And anyway, Jesus didn't actually say, love your neighbour as yourself. He said something more difficult than that. The new commandment for the baptized person is, love one another as I have loved you. And who can do that? Be merciful as God is merciful. Who can do that? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Who can do that? Say genuinely, thy will be done. Who can say that? No one. With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that is the good news. That's the gospel. That's why the first time early Christians were allowed and seen as competent to say the Lord's Prayer was after they'd been baptized and sealed by the Spirit, which typically would be given them to learn on Maundy Thursday in time for their baptism at Easter. It's not a prayer to be said lightly. It wasn't bandied around by all and sundry, because only true Christian disciples can pray, thy will be done, rather than simply say it. Surely the test of whether we do love God, whether we are following Jesus, is precisely the extent to which we want his will over our own. So we'll see later in this sermon series that the Lord's Prayer is meant to be insider stuff. It is a range of petitions for those who are in God's kingdom, praying for his kingdom to come more fully, offered by those who are dead to this world, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is the prayer that Jesus gives to his disciples. And we'll be going through it line by line during 2018. And I need to say also, by way of introduction, that there are, of course, two versions in the Gospels. Matthew's is the one that we know best, but also there is Luke's this morning, which you've got printed out in front of you. It begins simply, Father. There is no our, there is no who art in heaven. Father, your name be sanctified, your kingdom come. There's no on earth as in heaven, no your will be done. And then literally in Greek it says, give us day by day the daily bread of us. It's a reference to the daily gift of manna in the Old Testament. You rely upon God for his provision each day afresh. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who owes us. Lead us not into temptation or trust or test or trial. And then it stops. Amen. That's Luke's version. Matthew's version is fuller. It begins, Father, Father our in the Greek. So you start with the word Father again. The one being in the heavens. And then three sentences follow. Let your name be sanctified. Let your will be done. Your kingdom come. As it is being done in heaven, as a continuous present, so also on earth. And forgive us what we owe, as we have already forgiven those who owe us. It's in the past tense. This implies that you can only say the prayer if you're in that state of mercy towards others, as we have already forgiven those who owe us. Forgive us what we owe. Lead us not into tribulation or test or trial, but on the other hand, deliver us from evil, or it could be understood, deliver us from the evil one. And later in this series, we'll see that this is looking forward to the kingdom that comes at the end of the world and the defeat of our spiritual enemies. And then the prayer in St. Matthew's Gospel stops there. We're used to, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. That doxology is in the majority of the early Greek manuscripts, but it's not in the earliest two. And therefore, it's normally put as a footnote at the bottom of the page in our Bibles, even though it was widely accepted as part of the prayer by the early fathers. John Chrysostom's sermon that I quoted earlier from the 4th century includes it, for example. So I'm looking forward very much to exploring this prayer that we know so well, but which has a tremendous amount to teach us and to guide us with in prayer through this year. I hope it will reshape and reignite our praying as disciples of Jesus Christ. Just I need to offer one final thought by way of introduction this morning. Seeking to enter into the Lord's Prayer also means starting where our passage this morning starts, which is watching Jesus pray. That was what prompted the disciples to want to learn. They saw him praying and they thought, Lord, teach us to pray. And if we want to know how to pray or why to pray or what to pray, we start in the same place, fixing our eyes on Jesus and doing as he did. In the Gospels, Jesus shows us how to make the whole of life a prayer, not just learn a few words. To make the whole of life a prayer and make prayer the whole of life. We see his relationship with the Father, his delight in the Father's will as his prayer without ceasing. And alongside looking at the Lord's Prayer itself, we'll need to pay attention, therefore, to Jesus' own prayer life and to his wider teaching. And this morning in the Gospel reading we heard, that teaching is simply this, to pray boldly and persistently. The point of the parable of the friend getting up to get bread for his friend, the shameless audacity of knocking on the door, waking someone up in the middle of the night and daring to ask. Think also of the strange parable that Jesus told of the importunate widow who wanted justice and wasn't going to let the judge go until she was given justice. And in the end, he gives up. Well, these parables aren't about telling us that we've got to badger a reluctant God into changing his mind. It's not pestering God that God honours, but perseverance, persisting in prayer. We're talking here about an earnestness, a steady pursuit of God in prayer, because what we seek is vitally important. The extent of our persisting in prayer indicates the depth of our desire. It shows that in our hearts, if you like, a sifting process has already taken place. We've left behind lesser and more trivial things that we might have asked for, but this urgent need is left. This quickened compassion is in our hearts. This desperate longing might be a righteous anger, it might be a sensitive conscience. That purifying of our hearts before God in prayer, that is what God honours. There is a compulsion about genuine prayer. You find you cannot not pray. The Holy Spirit has touched your heart, he's laid a burden upon your heart, and you know that you're being called to carry that burden faithfully, even to become prayer for others, to cooperate with God as a channel of his power, his healing, his love and his grace. This work of prayer is not for the faint-hearted. It is something which it takes courage to persist and to persevere with. Paul says to the Galatians, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And Luke introduces the parable of the importunate widow, saying, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus knows that we do that, and we need to be given fresh opportunities to start again. Pray boldly and persistently, and finally, pray together. Come back to our week of prayer for Christian unity, and we recall Jesus saying, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Therefore, when you pray, say, Our Father. I hope we will commit to praying together more intentionally in 2018. Jesus here is recommending something he himself practiced and valued. He took Peter, James and John with him at the raising of Jairus' daughter on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Garden of Gethsemane. Praying together is part of what we're called to do. We need to be careful not to be simplistic and reduce God's ability to a question of prayer mathematics, as if the more of us that pray, the more is going to happen. But if in each of us prayer becomes a channel for God to act, then when a group pray together, the channel widens for the flow of his love. So we have before us an exciting adventure to be part of. Prayer across Horsham in this week of unity. Prayer across Sussex in this coming 12 months. Prayer across our nation. You'll see in your programme that in May we join with the whole Church of England for the Thy Kingdom Come week in May. Prayer all across the world and down the centuries in saying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, with our brothers and sisters. Let's give this prayer adventure a go, a proper go in 2018. Maybe you've got tired in your prayer life. Maybe you've given up praying, if you're honest. Maybe we're one of the 37% of Christians in this country who never or hardly ever pray. It's not too late to discover what we've been missing. You've got in your hands in that program a smorgasbord of varied opportunities to start again. So with shameless audacity, let's persist in prayer. Let's say, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples, just as you taught your first followers. And I believe that our patient, our loving friend will surely get up and come to meet us and give us as much as we need and more besides. In the name of him who loves to give the Holy Spirit to all who ask, our Father in heaven. Amen.